Chapter 18. Fat Phobia. It is now increasingly recognized that the low-fat campaign has been based on little scientific evidence and may have caused unintended health consequences. Harvard researchers Drs. Frank Hu and Walter Willett, 2001. One of the giants of modern nutritional science, Dr. Ansel Keys, 1904 to 2004, received his first PhD in oceanography and biology, and a second PhD in physiology from the University of Cambridge. He spent most of the rest of his career at the University of Minnesota, where he would play a dominant role in defining the current nutritional landscape. During World War II, Dr. Keys led the development of the K-rations, which would form the basis of military nutrition in the United States. He studied the effects of severe caloric restriction in the famous Minnesota starvation experiment, discussed in Chapter 3. However, his crowning achievement is considered to be the Seven Countries Study, a long-term observational study of diet and heart disease. In the post-World War II years, starvation and malnutrition were the major nutritional challenges. But Dr. Keys was struck by an odd inconsistency. Americans, despite far better nourishment, were suffering from rising rates of heart attack and stroke. In war-ravaged Europe, those rates remained low. In 1951, Dr. Keys noticed low rates of heart disease in Italian laborers. The Mediterranean diet, as he observed in Naples, was substantially lower in fat, 20% of calories, than the American diet of the period, approximately 45% of calories. Most striking, though, was the lower rate of consumption of animal foods and saturated fat. He hypothesized that high blood cholesterol levels caused heart disease and that the low dietary intake of fat was protective. In 1959, he published his dietary advice for the prevention of cardiovascular disease. Prominent among his recommendations were the following guidelines. Do not get fat. If you are fat, reduce. Easier said than done. Restrict saturated fats. The fats in beef, pork, lamb, sausages, margarine, and solid shortenings, and the fats in dairy products. Prefer vegetable oils to solid fats, but keep total fats under 30% of your diet calories. These recommendations survived relatively intact and defined nutritional orthodoxy for the next half century. In 1977, they became enshrined in the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. The main message, then, as now, is that all fat is bad, but saturated fats particularly so. Dietary fat was thought to clog up the arteries and cause heart attacks. The ambitious Seven Countries Study compared rates of coronary disease with various diet and lifestyle factors across nations. By 1970, with 5 years' worth of data, the study had several main conclusions regarding fats. Cholesterol levels predicted heart disease risk. The amount of saturated fat in the diet predicted cholesterol levels. Monounsaturated fat protected against heart disease. The Mediterranean diet protected against heart disease. Significantly, total dietary fat was not correlated to heart disease. Rather, saturated fat was dangerous, but monounsaturated fats were protective. Dietary cholesterol was also not identified as a risk factor for heart disease. Heart disease is caused by atherosclerosis, the process by which arteries in the heart become narrowed and hardened by the buildup of plaque. But atherosclerosis is not simply the result of high cholesterol levels clogging arteries. Current opinion holds that plaque develops as a response to injury. the wall of the artery becomes damaged, resulting in inflammation, which in turn allows infiltration of cholesterol and inflammatory cells into artery walls, in addition to the proliferation of smooth muscle. The narrowing of the artery may cause chest pain, also called angina. When plaques rupture, a blood clot forms, which abruptly blocks the artery. The resulting lack of oxygen causes a heart attack. Heart attacks and strokes are predominantly inflammatory diseases rather than simply diseases of high cholesterol levels. This understanding, however, came much later. In the 1950s, it was imagined that cholesterol circulated and deposited on the arteries much like sludge in a pipe, hence the popular image of dietary fat clogging up the arteries. It was believed that eating saturated fats caused high cholesterol levels, and high cholesterol levels caused heart attacks. This series of conjectures became known as the diet-heart hypothesis. Diets high in saturated fats caused high blood cholesterol levels, which caused heart disease. The liver manufactures the overwhelming majority, 80%, of the blood cholesterol, with only 20% coming from diet. Cholesterol is often portrayed as some harmful, poisonous substance that must be eliminated, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Cholesterol is a key building block in the membranes that surround all the cells in our body. In fact, it's so vital that every cell in the body except the brain has the ability to make it. If you reduce cholesterol in your diet, your body will simply make more. The Seven Countries study had two major problems, although neither was very obvious at the time. First, it was a correlation study. As such, its findings could not prove causation. Correlation studies are dangerous because it is very easy to mistakenly draw causal conclusions. However, they are often the only source of long-term data available. It is always important to remember that they can only generate hypotheses to be tested in more rigorous trials. The heart benefit of the low-fat diet was not proven false until 2006, with the publication of the Women's Health Initiative Dietary Modification Trial and the Low-Fat Dietary Pattern and Risk of Cardiovascular Disease study, some 30 years after the low-fat approach became enshrined in nutritional lore. By that time, like a supertanker, the low-fat movement had gained so much momentum that it was impossible to turn it aside. The association of heart disease and saturated fat intake is not proof that saturated fat causes heart disease. Some recognized this fatal flaw immediately and argued against making dramatic dietary recommendations based on such flimsy evidence. The seemingly strong link between heart disease and saturated fat consumption was forged with quotation and repetition, not with scientifically sound evidence. There were many possible interpretations of the Seven Countries study. Animal protein, saturated fats, and sugar were all correlated to heart disease. Higher sucrose intake could just as easily have explained the correlation to heart disease, as Dr. Keyes himself had acknowledged. It is also possible that higher intakes of animal protein, saturated fats, and sugar are all merely markers of industrialization. Countries with higher levels of industrialization tended to eat more animal products, meat and dairy, and also tended to have higher rates of heart disease. Perhaps it was the processed foods. All of these hypotheses could have been generated from the same data. But what we got was the diet-heart hypothesis and the resulting low-fat crusade. The second major problem was the inadvertent triumph of nutritionism, a term popularized by the journalist and author Michael Pollan. Rather than discussing individual foods, spinach, beef, ice cream, nutritionism reduced foods to only three macronutrients: carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. They were then subdivided further as saturated and unsaturated fats, trans fats, simple and complex carbohydrates, etc. This sort of simplistic analysis does not capture the hundreds of nutrients and phytochemicals in foods, all of which affect our metabolism. Nutritionism ignores the complexity of food science and human biology. An avocado, for instance, is not simply 88% fat, 16% carbohydrate, and 5% protein with 4.9 grams of fiber. This sort of nutritional reductionism is how avocados became classified for decades as a bad food due to their high fat content, only to be reclassified today as a superfood. Nutritionally, a piece of butterscotch candy cannot be reasonably compared to kale simply because both contain equal amounts of carbohydrate. Nutritionally, a teaspoon of trans-fat-laden margarine cannot be reasonably compared to an avocado simply because both contain equal amounts of fats. Dr. Keyes made the unnoticed and unintentional claim that all saturated fats, all unsaturated fats, all dietary cholesterol, etc., are the same. This fundamental error led to decades of flawed research and understanding. Nutritionism fails to consider foods as individuals, each with its own particular good and bad traits. Kale is not the same nutritionally as white bread, even though both contain carbohydrates. These two fundamental but subtle errors of judgment led to the widespread acceptance of the diet-heart hypothesis, even though the evidence supporting it was shaky at best. Most natural animal fats are chiefly composed of saturated fats. In contrast, vegetable oils, such as corn, are chiefly omega-6 polyunsaturated fatty acids. After remaining relatively stable from 1900 to 1950, animal fat consumption began a relentless decline. The dialogue began to change in the late 1990s due to popularity of higher-fat diets. The unintended consequence of the saturated fat reduction was that intake of omega-6 fatty acids increased significantly. Carbohydrates, as a percentage of calories, also started to climb. To be more precise, these were intended consequences. They were unintentionally detrimental to human health. Omega-6s are a family of polyunsaturated fatty acids that are converted to highly inflammatory mediators called eicosanoids. The massive increase in the use of vegetable oils can be traced to technological advances in the 1900s that allowed modern production methods. Since corn is not naturally high in oil, normal human consumption of omega-6 oils had been quite low. But now we could process literally tons of corn in order to derive useful amounts. Omega-3 fatty acids are another family of polyunsaturated fats that are mainly anti-inflammatory. Flax seeds, walnuts, and oily fish, such as sardines and salmon, are all good sources. Omega-3 fatty acids decrease thrombosis, blood clots, and are believed to protect against heart disease. Low rates of heart disease were originally described in the Inuit population and subsequently in all major fish-eating populations. High dietary ratios of omega-6 to 3 ratios increase inflammation, potentially worsening cardiovascular disease. It is estimated that humans evolved eating a diet that is close to equal in omega-6 and 3 fatty acids. However, the current ratio in the Western diet is closer to a 15-to-1 to 30-to-1 ratio. Either we are eating way too little omega-3, way too much omega-6, or more likely, both. In 1990, the Canadian Nutritional Guidelines were the first to recognize the important difference and include specific recommendations for both types of fatty acids. Animal fats had been replaced by highly inflammatory omega-6 laden vegetable oils that had been widely advertised as heart healthy. This is ironic since atherosclerosis is now considered mostly to be an inflammatory disease. To replace butter, Americans increasingly reached for that tub of edible plastic, margarine, with large advertising campaigns designed to play up its wholesome, all-vegetable origins. Trans-fat-laden margarine was in the right place at the right time. Designed in 1869 as a cheap butter alternative, it was originally made from beef tallow and skim milk. Margarine is naturally an unappetizing white, but is dyed yellow. Butter manufacturers were not amused, and marginalized margarine for decades through tariffs and laws. Its big break came with World War II and the ensuing butter shortage. Most of the taxes and laws against margarine were repealed since butter was scarcely available anyway. This action paved the way for the great margarine renaissance of the 1960s and 70s as the war on saturated fats gained ground. Ironically, this healthier alternative, chock full of trans fats, was actually killing people. Thankfully, consumer advocacy forced the retreat of trans fats from store shelves. It's actually a minor miracle that vegetable oils were considered healthy at all. Squeezing oil from non-oily vegetables requires a substantial amount of industrial strength processing, including pressing, solvent extraction, refining, degumming, bleaching, and deodorization. There is nothing natural about margarine, and it could only have become popular during an era in which artificial equaled good. We drank artificial orange juices like Tang. We gave our children artificial baby formula. We drank artificially sweetened sodas. We made Jell-O. We thought we were smarter than Mother Nature. Whatever she had made, we could make better. Out with all natural butter, in with industrially produced artificially colored trans fat laden margarine. Out with natural animal fats, in with solvent extracted, bleached, and deodorized vegetable oil. What could possibly go wrong? The Diet Heart Hypothesis. In 1948, Harvard University began a decades-long community-wide prospective study of the diets and habits of the town of Framingham, Massachusetts. Every 2 years, all residents would undergo screening with blood work and questionnaires. High cholesterol levels in the blood had been associated with heart disease. But what caused this increase? A leading hypothesis was that high dietary fat was a prime factor in raising cholesterol levels. By the early 1960s, the results of the Framingham Diet Study were available. Hoping to find a definitive link between saturated fat intake, blood cholesterol, and heart disease, the study instead found nothing at all. There was absolutely no correlation. Saturated fats did not increase blood cholesterol. The study concluded no association between percent of calories from fat and serum cholesterol level was shown, nor between ratio of plant fat to animal fat intake and serum cholesterol level. Did saturated fat intake increase risk of heart disease? In a word, no. Here are the final conclusions of this forgotten jewel. There is, in short, no suggestion of any relation between diet and the subsequent development of CHD, coronary heart disease, in the study group. This negative result would be repeatedly confirmed over the next half century. No matter how hard we looked, there was no discernible relationship between dietary fat and blood cholesterol. Some trials, such as the Puerto Rico Heart Health Program, were huge, boasting more than 10,000 patients. Other trials lasted more than 20 years. The results were always the same. Saturated fat intake could not be linked to heart disease. But researchers had drunk the Kool-Aid. They believed their hypothesis so completely that they were willing to ignore the results of their own study. For example, in the widely cited Western Electric study, the authors note that the amount of saturated fatty acids in the diet was not significantly associated with the risk of death from CHD. This lack of association, however, did not dissuade the authors from concluding, "The results support the conclusion that lipid composition of the diet affects serum cholesterol concentration and risk of coronary death." All these findings should have buried the diet-heart hypothesis. But no amount of data could dissuade the diehards that dietary fat caused heart disease. Researchers saw what they wanted to see. Instead, researchers saved the hypothesis and buried the results. Despite the massive effort and expense, the Framingham Diet Study was never published in a peer-reviewed journal. Instead, results were tabulated and quietly put away in a dusty corner, which condemned us to 50 years of a low-fat future that included an epidemic of diabetes and obesity. There was also the confounding issue of the artificial trans fats. Trans fats. Saturated fats are so named because they are saturated with hydrogen. This makes them chemically stable. The polyunsaturated fats, like most vegetable oils, have holes where the hydrogen is missing. They are less stable chemically, so they have a tendency to go rancid and have a short shelf life. The solution was to create artificial trans fats. There are natural trans fats. Dairy products contain between 3% to 6% natural trans fats. Beef and lamb contain a little less than 10%. However, these natural trans fats are not believed to be harmful to human health. In 1902, Wilhelm Norman discovered that you could bubble hydrogen into vegetable oil to saturate it, turning polyunsaturated fat into saturated fat. Food labels often called this partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. Trans fat is less likely to go rancid. Trans fats are semi-solid at room temperature, so they spread easily and have an improved mouth feel. Trans fats were ideal for deep frying. You can use this stuff over and over without changing it. Best of all, this stuff was cheap. Using leftover soybeans from animal feed, manufacturers could process the heck out of it and still get vegetable oil. A little hydrogen, a little chemistry, and boom, trans fats, baby. So what if it killed millions of people from heart disease? That knowledge was years in the future. Trans fats started to hit their stride by the 1960s, as saturated fats were fingered as the main cause of heart disease. The makers of trans fats were quick to point out that they were processed from polyunsaturated fats, the heart-healthy fat. Trans fats retained a healthy veneer, even as they were killing people left and right. Margarine, another completely artificial food, embraced trans fats like a long-lost lover. Saturated fat consumption, butter, beef, and pig fats, steadily decreased. McDonald's switched from frying an unhealthy beef tallow to frying in trans fat-laden vegetable oils. Theaters switched from frying in naturally saturated coconut oil to artificially saturated trans fats. Other major sources of trans fats included deep-fried and frozen foods, packaged bakery products, crackers, vegetable shortening, and margarine. The year 1990 marked the beginning of the end for trans fat when Dutch researchers noted that consuming trans fats increased LDL, low-density lipoprotein, or bad cholesterol, and lowered HDL, high-density lipoprotein, or good cholesterol, in subjects. Closer scrutiny of the health effect led to an estimate that a 2% increase in trans fat consumption would increase risk of heart disease by a whopping 23%. By 2000, the tide had turned decisively. Most consumers were actively avoiding trans fats, and Denmark, Switzerland, and Iceland banned trans fats for human consumption. The recognition of the dangers of trans fats led to a re-evaluation of previous studies of saturated fats. Previous studies had classified trans fats together with saturated fats. Researchers strove to separate out the effect of trans fats, and that changed everything we thought we knew about saturated fats. Protective effect on heart disease and stroke. Once the skewing effect of trans fats were taken into account, the studies consistently showed that high dietary fat intake was not harmful. The enormous Nurses' Health Study followed 80,082 nurses over 14 years. After removing the effect of trans fats, this study concluded that total fat intake was not significantly related to the risk of coronary disease. Dietary cholesterol was also safe. The Swedish Malmö Diet and Cancer Study and a 2014 meta-analysis published in the Annals of Internal Medicine reached similar conclusions. And the good news for saturated fats kept rolling in. Dr. R. Krauss published a careful analysis of 21 studies covering 347,747 patients and found no significant evidence for concluding that dietary saturated fat is associated with an increased risk of CHD. In fact, there was even a small protective effect on stroke. The protective effects of saturated fats were also found in the 14-year, 58,543-person Japan Collaborative Cohort Study for Evaluation of Cancer and the 10-year Health Professionals Follow-Up Study of 43,757 men. Ironically, trans fat-laden margarines had always branded themselves as heart-healthy since they were low in saturated fat. 20-year follow-up data from the Framingham study revealed that margarine consumption was associated with more heart attacks. By contrast, eating more butter was associated with fewer heart attacks. A 10-year study in Oahu, Hawaii, found a protective effect of saturated fat on stroke risk. The 20-year follow-up data from the Framingham study confirmed these benefits. Those eating the most saturated fat had the least strokes, but polyunsaturated fats, vegetable oils, were not beneficial. Monounsaturated fats, olive oil, were also protective against stroke, a consistent finding throughout the decades. Dietary fat and obesity. The evidence on a link between dietary fat and obesity is consistent. There is no association whatsoever. The main concern about dietary fats had always been heart disease. Obesity concerns were just thrown in as well. When dietary fat was declared a villain, cognitive dissonance set in. Dietary carbohydrates could not be good because they are low in fat and bad because they are fattening, at the same time. Without anybody even noticing, it was decided that carbohydrates were no longer fattening. Calories were fattening. Dietary fat, with its high caloric density, must therefore be bad for weight gain as well. However, there was never any data to support this assumption. Even the National Cholesterol Education Program admits the percentage of total fat in the diet, independent of caloric intake, has not been documented to be related to body weight. Translation: despite 50 years of trying to prove that dietary fat causes obesity, we still cannot find any evidence. This data is hard to find because it never existed. A comprehensive review of all the studies of high-fat dairy finds no association with obesity, with whole milk, sour cream, and cheese offering greater benefits than low-fat dairy. Eating fat does not make you fat, but may protect you against it. Eating fat together with other foods tends to decrease glucose and insulin spikes. If anything, dietary fat would be expected to protect against obesity. While literally thousands of papers have reviewed this data, perhaps Dr. Walter Willett of the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health said it best in his 2002 review article entitled, "Dietary Fat Plays a Major Role in Obesity." No. Considered one of the world's foremost experts in nutrition, he writes, "Diets high in fat do not account for the high prevalence of excess body fat in Western countries. Reductions in the percentage of energy from fat will have no important benefits and could further exacerbate this problem. The emphasis on total fat reduction has been a serious distraction in efforts to control obesity and improve health in general." The failure of the low-fat paradigm was fully exposed in the Women's Health Initiative Dietary Modification Trial. Nearly 50,000 women were randomly assigned to low-fat or regular diets. Over 7 years, the low-fat, calorie-restricted diet produced no benefits in weight loss. Nor were there heart protection benefit either. The incidence of cancer, heart disease, or stroke was not reduced. There were no cardiovascular benefits. There were no weight benefits. The low-fat diet was a complete failure. The emperor had no clothes.